Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. Welcome po sa gathering ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ako po inyong lingkod, si Pastor Alvin, at naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga elders po ng iglesyang ito. Kung first time po nyo dito, welcome po. We're glad that you're able to join us. Meron kaming free Bible sa inyo kung hindi pa ako kayo nakatanggap. Mamaya ako, after ng service, dumiretso po kayo sa foyer, sa connections team table. At meron po kayong libreng Bible, mapa Ingles o Tagalog. Also, as you entered sa Alcor Ballroom na ito, aside sa nakakuha kayo ng name tag, binigyan din po kayo ng bulletin. So this is a helpful tool para sa atin, not only para sa order ng ating service, makikita natin ang pagkakasunod-sunod ng part ng ating service, but also this is a teaching tool that we believe na pwede ninyong iuwi at aralin, tingnan ninyo kung ano yung mga passages na inyong inaral ngayon, mga kanta na inawit, mga announcements patungkol sa buhay ng iglesia na ito, matatagpuan din po dyan. So, speaking of announcements para sa church, i-echo ko lang yung sinabi ni Pastor, ilan sa mga sinabi ni Pastor Juvan kanina, mamayang hapon po at 1:30, ang mga kababaihan ay meron pong women's fellowship na kung saan aaralin about scripture. So, si Sister Ami Maharukun will be leading ang teaching na to, and there will be fellowship and discussion afterwards. So please, grab a quick lunch. Some will eat here. Okay rin ho yun, kung meron kayong baon. 1:30 po, dati yung magsa-start. So try to come before 1:30. And then 1:30 magsa-start kagad. Also, the following week, next Sunday, meron naman tinatawag na university fellowship, bagong fellowship or gathering to na magaganap para ho sa mga university students at mga young professionals na pare-pareho halos yung edad. So we encourage you to come at 1:30 and invite friends. Kung meron kayong mga kaibigan na from your school na you want to hear gospel preaching and teaching of the word and to know Christian friends, this is the right place for that. So if you've been attending, if you're a university student here and you have been attending Crossroads for a while and you feel that you're alone, you can be surrounded by a lot of people and still feel alone and you don't know much people, this is a perfect opportunity to know people. So punta kayo ng 1:30 next week. Also, magsa-start na rin po next week ang ating membership class if you want to be part or a member ng Crossroads. Please, this is an opportunity for you to know what we believe, yung mga ministry principles that we hold on to and practice. So that would be at 9 a.m. next Sunday then. So, meron na rin tayong the following two Sundays from now, which is 29th, if I'm having it, 26th of this month, magsa-start na rin po ang equipping class. And the elders had chosen yung topic na spiritual gifts. Alam ko medyo marami nagtatanong, madalas mapag-usapan, controversial yung pagdating sa spiritual gifts, hindi lamang ng teaching or ng faith, but also spiritual gifts na nag-i-exist pa ba ngayon o hindi na, o nagpapatuloy pa rin ba, gaya ng gift of tongues, dreams, visions, prophecies. Aaralin po natin yan sa series na ito. So being excited to learn, April 26, as we open the Bible, patungkol doon. And lastly, you also marireceive nyo rin po ito sa inyong bulletins, I believe, itong sermon card. If you're wondering what we preach weekly dito, we already presented earlier for the whole quarter, at least itong second quarter. Nandito na po lahat ng mga sermons sa darating na 3 months. So if you want to read ahead or study ahead, grab this. Maganda rin din siyang marker sa Bible. And then come prepared as we study God's Word. Okay, so, ayan po, sermon card. Kung wala ho kayo nakita sa bulletins ninyo, nandyan po rin ulit yan sa foyer. Si Corrie ten Boom ay isang Dutch Christian na nagtatago ng mga Jews during sa Nazi occupation. Tinanong siya sa isang interview kung paano niya na-endure ang betrayal, imprisonment, at suffering sa concentration camp. Ito ang sinabi niya, that in the dark moments natuto siyang magtiwala sa Panginoon. And I'd like to quote yung isa sa mga famous quotes na binitawan niya at madalas i-quote sa social media. Sabi rito, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." As she looked back, she realized that even when human hands intend evil, God was quietly and sovereignly at work, preserving, shaping, and fulfilling His purposes in ways she could not see noong time na yon. What struck her most was not that life became easier after noon, but that God was faithful even when circumstances were not. Friends, are you willing to trust God's providence even when the people around you are dishonest? When circumstances feel unfair? And when it seems like we are being taken advantage of? This question, or these questions, bring us directly to our passage. Tulad ni Corrie ten Boom in Suffering, Jacob finds himself under Laban's manipulation and intense pressure. Yet even there, God is providentially fulfilling His promises, prospering His servant, protecting His chosen line, despite human opposition. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series in the book of Genesis, the God of Isaac and Jacob. So far, nakita natin that Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, but Laban deceived him and gave him Leah instead, requiring another 7 years, giving him a total of 14 years. Pagkatapos na nakita natin ang painful family struggle marked by rivalry, manipulation, and heartache between si kay Leah at siya kay Rachel. Yet through God's providence, Leah and Rachel, with their maidservants, had 11 sons and one daughter to Jacob. But despite human sin and brokenness, God's promise cannot be hindered. God's purposes cannot be thwarted. From this very family, He is forming the 12 tribes of Israel, where Levi and Judah will become the priestly and royal lines, and Joseph to preserve the family in famine in just a few chapters dito. And all along, God shows His mercy to the lowly, seeing Leah's affliction and remembering Rachel by opening their wombs and giving them children, pointing us to His consistent pattern of grace that finds its fullness in Christ. Ngayong umaga, we will once again see God's providence at work, quietly, faithfully, and powerfully fulfilling His purposes, even through human opposition and broken circumstances. Ang prayer ko sa atin po ngayong umaga ay makita natin that despite Laban's repeated deception and opposition, God sovereignly prospers, protects, and perseveres Jacob. He faithfully advances His covenant promises and directing him back to the land of promise, which is Canaan. And by seeing this, I hope that we would trust in His providence and obey His word even in the face of injustice and uncertainty. God providentially fulfills His purposes despite human opposition. God providentially fulfills His purposes despite human opposition. And how does God fulfill His purposes or promises to His servant in this passage? In two ways, two of many. Number one, God providentially prospers. Chapter 30, verses 25 to 43. God providentially prospers. And number two, God providentially protects. God providentially protects. That'll be in chapter 31, the whole chapter, 1 to 55. Studying this passage is not for the faint-hearted. If you are studying this in your Bible study group, I commend you. And I hope nagkaroon po kayo ng appreciation in studying God's Word, reading God's Word, meditating and applying God's Word together. And now this is somehow to fuel yung inyong nalalaman and to fuel your worship sa ating malalaman as we worship corporately. So unang part, makikita natin dito that despite Laban repeatedly cheated on Jacob out of his wages, God caused him to flourish and prosper under unfair treatment. At pangalawa naman, makita din natin na as Jacob's wealth grew, Laban's hostility toward him also grew. God keeps Jacob safe from harm and brings him out in peace. So, isa-isayin po natin ito ngayon, part na ito. Number one, God providentially prospers. Chapter 30, verse 25 to 26. Open your Bibles if you're not there yet. As soon as Rachel had born Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away, that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." After 14 years of service for his wives, handa na si Jacob umuwi. Handa na siyang bumalik sa Canaan, sa lugar ng kanyang tatay. Pero willing din siyang gawin yon empty-handed. Wala na siyang ibang inihingi kundi yon. He now demands that Laban send him and his family to his home country. Kung totoosin, culturally, Jacob was entitled sa parting gifts, sa mga ganong klaseng event. Pero alam naman niya na hindi siya babayaran ni Laban kahit mag-demand siya. He asked for nothing but his wives and children so they can leave. Mukhang pagod na rin talaga si Laban, ay si Jacob sa pamamalakad ni Laban at magtrato sa kanya. So verse 27, makita natin kung gaano katuso si Laban sa conversation na ito. Sabi niya dyan, if you would look at your Bibles, "If I have found favor in your sight." Now, ito muna tayo dyan. Ito po ang mga sinasabi o paraan kung paano ang isang servant would address his master kapag nakikiusap. Yun po yung term. So in short, dumidiskarte na naman ito si Laban. Alam niyang aalis na eh. So, nagpakumbaba nawa, kunyari. No? He was flattering him. Binobola siya. He added, "I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." Divination. Now, hindi natin alam if he really found out through divination, but surely he practices this. Or ano ba yung divination? Ito yung some sort of occult practice, witchcraft, or sorcery. We're not sure kung dito niya talaga nagaling that he was getting richer because of the Lord's favor towards Jacob, but basically, he knows. Maybe by observing. But Laban does know that his prosperity is not because of him. He's a bad businessman. A corrupt one. In fact, he knows he's prospering because God's blessing was on Jacob. At magaling din si Jacob mamalakad ng negosyo sa sheep. What's interesting ay kahit alam ni Jacob ito, hindi siya nagkaroon ng craving. Sorry, kahit alam ni Laban ito, hindi siya nagkaroon ng craving to know God, the God of Jacob. Kahit na we witness na niya to. Instead, Instead, his appetite for prosperity grew even deeper. Thus, he's trying to engage him in this conversation, hopefully to convince him hindi umalis. Ang tanging dahilan kung bakit gusto ni Laban si Jacob is because he views him as his good luck charm. Simula dumating to si Jacob, siniswerte ang aking negosyo. And a means to access God's material blessings to be prosperous. Yun lang ang tingin niya kay Jacob. So verse 28, hindi nagpaligoy-ligoy si Laban. At tinanong siya kung magkano ba talaga gusto mong sahod. Dinaretso na niya. Nagpapaalam na umalis. Again, mapagduda ito. Hindi, may kailangan ito. Magkano ba talaga kailangan mo? Magkano kailangan mo sahod? No? Pera-pera kagad ang sinabi. Do you see how cunning Laban is here? Jacob only asked Laban about his wives whom he had worked hard for 14 years and his children. Laban knew that Jacob did not owe him anything, pero he wanted to keep Jacob to profit from him. Yun lang ang dahilan kung bakit niya gusto magstay. So in verse 28, he asked him to name his salary and he will give it. Nagyabang pa. Magkano ba asking mo? Ibibigay ko yan. Iba, blank check ko pa yan. Parang ganun yung dating. Delikadong maging amo ito. Kasi over promises and under delivers. So verses 29 to 30, Jacob argued that he had served Laban well for 14 years and had increased his wealth. And God was prospering everything he did. Yun po ang hinighlight po ni Jacob dito. We can see dito, compared sa mga previous chapters, na medyo nagmamature na si Jacob dito. May isang chapter na hindi nga niya nabanggit ang pangalan ng Diyos. Pero dito, he's starting to understand the theology of God's providence. Kasi he now gives credit to the Lord. He now realizes that the ultimate source of blessing and prosperity is God. Now, mahalaga na maunawaan natin that God was blessing Jacob because he had promised him sa Bethel, sa chapter 28, that he would bless him. The promises that were given to Abraham and Isaac are now given to him, who now is the covenant head. God is the giver of prosperity. Tandaan po natin yan. Kaya nung tinanong siya ni Laban kung ano ang gusto niya, Jacob wanted something different. He wanted something different, hindi yung gusto niyang ialok. So he offered Laban a deal he could not refuse. At makikita natin ito sa verses 32 to 33. Now before we check out yung proposal dito ni Jacob, let me say this. Kadalasan ang mga sheep ay puti. Pastor, medyo obvious yun na. Yes, kadalasan po ng mga sheep ay puti. Ibig sabihin, hindi lahat ay puti. Samantalang ang mga goats naman ay mostly dark colored, either brown or black. Ang spotted and speckled at multicolored na sheep at saka goats ay very rare. Bihira po, lalo na siguro noong time na ito. So ito ang proposal ni Jacob, who is being generous mismo kay Laban. He offered to pasture Laban's flock at bilang kabayaran, kukunin niya yung mga rare sheep at saka goats. Kukunin niya ang lahat ng mga spotted, speckled, at multicolored na sheep at saka goats. Yun yung deal. Yun ang kabayaran. Again, we can see ang maturity ni Jacob dito in the process of this difficult providence of working with his uncle who cheated him for several years. He was giving him a deal that yun ang aalagaan niya, yun ang palalagoy niya. At the same time, aalagaan din yung mga tupa ng kanyang father-in-law. It was easy for Jacob to have taken the credit for working hard, but he said that he worked hard and the Lord blessed him. Yun ang kasi pinahahawakan niya. Just to give you a little bit of side application po dito, God calls us to work hard because we ultimately work for Him. Not mainly for our employer. Jacob worked really hard. And every time na he's working hard, is attributing lahat ng mga results ng kanyang trabaho, even ng kanyang trabaho, sa Panginoon. And God also calls us to give credit to Him. Every successful task na nakukumpleto natin, every project well done well, every blessing we receive, whether appraisal or praises of man, we should give credit to our God. Sabi nga sa Colossians 3, chapter 23, whatever we do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. So, dapat ho tayo magpasalamat. Dapat tayo mag-work hard because ang pinaglilingkuran natin, ating Panginoon. And every blessing na receive natin out from it, eh kailangan bigyan ng kapapurihan ng Panginoon at hindi ang sarili. Tigilan na natin yung tapping ourselves on our shoulder. Good job. Hindi, praise God. Praise God. At ano naging response ni Laban sa proposal na to? Verse 34. Laban said, good! Let it be as you have said. Kasi alam niya ba, okay na deal to ah. Sige, go! Verse 35, but that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Well, malinaw na naman sa atin na sakim at manloloko talaga ito si Laban. Agad-agad niyang vinayolate ang agreement nila ni Jacob. At after ng agreement, kung may handshake man yon, agad-agad siyang umuwi at kinuha ang mga multicolored na sheep at saka goats, which he gave to his sons to tend and send them on a 3-day journey para malayo kay Jacob. In short, walang natira. So, pagsisilipin ngayon ni Jacob, nasaan yung mga batik? Nasaan na ang black sheep? Risado ko yun eh. Now, kailangan niya ulit magsimula. Kailangan niya ulit mag-breed. Kailangan niya ulit mag-produce. In short, wala siya matatanggap. Pero wala tayong nakitang reklamo rito, ano? Anong sinabi dyan? And Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Bakit ginawa ba ni Laban to? Well, bukod sa sakim siya, he doesn't trust Jacob. He doesn't trust Jacob. Iniisip niya na baka gulangan ako ni Jacob. Hindi basta, matalino to si Jacob eh, sabi ni Laban. Hindi basta-basta mag-o-offer ng ganitong klaseng diryan na wala siyang pagkakakitaan dito. Ang hirap, ano, sa manloloko, no? Walang tiwala ang magnanakaw sa magnanakaw. So iniisip niya, baka gugulangan ako ni Jacob, kaya ganon. So, yung proposal na yun, hindi siya pwedeng kumita sa proposal na ito. Malamang may plano to. Didiskartehan ako. Uunahan ko na to. Wais ata ito. Kukunin ko ngayon lahat ang mga gusto niya at pagtatrabaho niya. Gano'ng katagal? 6 years. 6 years ang tinagal. Pero wala. We see again yung maturity ni Jacob dito. Wala siyang sinabi. He just worked. Now in verses 37 to 43, despite Laban's opposition, God blessed Jacob. You know, sa mga inaral natin sa series na ito, nakita natin God blessing Leah, God blessing Rachel, God blessing Jacob in spite of themselves. At ngayon, nakikita natin ulit sa storya na ito. So 37 to 39, nag-backfire ang plano ni Laban. Because it allowed Jacob to do selective breeding that led him to become prosperous. Dito siya mismo naging mayaman. Now, paano nangyari ito? Tingnan niyo po ang strange providence ng Panginoon sa storya na ito. Ang method ng selective breeding dito talaga ni Jacob ay may kahalong common sense and superstitious belief. Kasabihan, superstitious belief. May superstitious belief kasi sila sa panahon na yon na kung ano daw ang tinitignan ng mga animals habang sila ay nagtatalik, ganun din ang magiging outcome ng kulay ng kanilang mga anak. Parang nakakatawa, no? Pero siguro pagtawaran din natin ang ating mga paniniwala bilang Pinoy. Bakit ka? Naalala ko na may ganito din tayong superstitious belief eh. Na naalala ko mga pang nagkwentuhan ng mga buntes na para maging gwapo at maganda raw ang kanilang mga anak. Kailangan titigan daw yung mga litrato ng mga gwapong artista at magagandang artista o ibababad nila sarili nila sa Netflix para mapaglihian. So, hindi bago sa atin ito. Si sheep nga lang naman ang tumitingin at saka si goat. So, hindi ko ina-advise na gawin nyo yun kung kayo nagdadala ng tao, no? Bakit ka mo? Kasi ako lagi ninyo nakikita. Mira lang po. Hindi rin mangyayari yun. Lugi kayo. So, similar po dito, Jacob tries to manipulate ang outcome of what type of sheep or goat would be produced by using sticks. Mga sanga, branches ng mga puno. He peels off some of its parts para magmukha siyang spot, magkaroon siya ng spots, speckles, at saka multicolored. So, from there, tuwing nagtatali ka mga sheep or goat, ilalagay niya yun sa harapan ng mga animals na ito at tititigan nila. At yun po ang paniniwala niya, kaya lahat ng lalabas doon ay spotted, speckled, at saka multicolored. Now, kung ikaw ay superstitious nung panahon na yun, maniniwala ka kasi nga laging ganun nang successful. Kumbaga, lahat ng diskarte ni Jacob mukhang nangyayari lahat. Ah. Lahat ng mga tinututukan niya ay pinapakitaan niya ng ganun stick ay lahat ay speckled, mga spotted na goats at saka sheep. And whenever he, ito pa, bukod doon, he also used common sense. Whenever he observes a sheep or goat that is more energetic, stronger, and healthier than the rest, ito ang mga pinapares niya sa mating season, yung mga malalakas. At nilalagay doon, at dahil pinagsasama niya yung mga malalakas na ito, doon niya nilalagay rin yung mga sticks. Tinititigan nila. Now, ito ang medyo, may relation ito sa, may katotohanan po ito sa panahon natin sa science. Ayon sa isang Jewish biblical scholar na si Nahum Sarna, sabi raw niya na ang stronger, healthier, and more active animals or vigorous animals sa flock ay malaki ang chances na hybrid. Hybrid yon. Bakit ka mo? Kasi may mixed genetic background yan. Ang mga animals daw na hybrid ay may hidden genes na spotted at speckled yung balahibo. So, kapag nagtalik ang dalawang hybrid na ito, ang chances, lalabas yung mga spots na yun sa next generation, ang kanilang anak. So, may genetic, of course, hindi alam ni Jacob to. O, alam ko yan eh, kasi ganito ang genetic composition. Hindi alam ni Jacob yan. Ang pinahawakan lang yung superstitious belief. At saka nakikita niya, no, observa niya kung sino yung mga malalakas, pinagsasama niya. No? Pero ang point dito ay hindi selective breeding. Ang kung bakit dumadami yung mga tupa at kambing malalakas na tupa at kambing ni mismong Jacob at yung mga mahihina na single colored na sheep at saka goats lang kay Laban. Ang reason for this is God's providence. It is God who blesses. It is God who prospers. Ang sinasabi ni Moses sa kanyang original recipients, which is Israel, na kung saan, who is in the desert, kakapakawala lang nila sa Egypt, papuntang Cana, is that God prospered Jacob in a very extraordinary way. At mas higit ito kesa sa hinihingi ni Jacob. Ano ba, naalala niyo ba ang hiningi ni Jacob sa Panginoon sa Bethel? Sa chapter 28. Why don't you turn back sa chapter 28, verse 20 to 21. Babasahin natin. Go to your Bible sa Genesis 28, 20 to 21. God has blessed him more than what he asked for. So verse 20, ano bang hiningin niyo sa Panginoon? If God will be with me, check, and will keep me in this way that I go, check, nagawa na ng Panginoon, ibig sabihin, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear. Now let's stop right there. Yan lang na hinihingi niya. Bread to eat and clothing to wear. Makakain lang at damit. And sabi niya sa verse 21, so that I might come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So, in short, God answered his prayers. Hindi lang t-shirt at saka pagkain na binigay sa kanya, pinayaman siya ng Panginoon. More than what he asked for. God has answered Jacob's prayer far beyond all that he could ask or think. God is teaching Jacob that he is his portion. He is his source of blessing, hindi si Laban. At dahan-dahan na natututunan ito ni Jacob. At hindi lang yon, God is covenantally promising, prospering Jacob. Hindi lang dahil sa promise of Bethel, it goes way back. You know ang sinabi ng Diyos kay Abraham sa kanyang lolo sa Genesis chapter 12? If you would go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, ito sinabi ng Panginoon, pinako ng Panginoon sa kanyang lolo, that He will make Abraham a great nation, that God will bless him, I will make his name great, and he shall be a blessing, and God will bless those who bless him, and the one who curses him, God will curse. And in him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So far, natikman na ng konti ni Jacob ito. Laban recognizes that Jacob's presence had brought him blessings from the Lord. Ito'y bahagi ng fulfillment ng Abrahamic promise. God blessed Jacob beyond all that he could ask or think in fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise. So, hindi pa ito yung ultimate fulfillment, but he is seeing this bit by bit. Ano sinasabi ni Moses dito? Well, una, he is confirming na si Jacob nga ang covenant head. At ang lahat ng mga providential disciplines na pinadaan niya for him to deepen his trust is the purpose of to deepen his trust and reliance sa kanya. No, mga kaibigan, maring nandito ka ngayon, umaga, and you are in a very difficult providential situation. I'm not just saying situation. We have already established this a few Sundays ago that everything that's happening sa buhay natin ay hindi aksidente, it's God's providence. So let me say this again. Maring nandito ka ngayong umaga and you are in a very difficult providential situation. You're about to lose your job, or you just lost your job. Your marriage is not doing well. No matter how you tried. It's that situation you have with your child or children. Or the current regional situation right now is causing you to be restless and weary. Friends, you have no idea what God is doing. You don't know how to respond or how it's going to turn out. You try to answer your own questions. Try to ask people some mga questions and still left bewildered. Friends, we need to reflect on God's providence in Jacob's life in Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 hanggang 43. Yes, God providentially provides blessings and prosperity, but He also ordains seasons of trials, delays, suffering, and hardship. There are even moments when, from our perspective, he seems silent and slow. The question then is not merely, will God answer my prayers? That's not the question, but rather, how am I to live faithfully under his providence for his glory? That's the question we need to ask. In Jacob's case, God was at work both in what was gained and in what was endured. And the same is true para sa atin. Our calling is to trust His wisdom, remain faithful in our labor, and ask continually as you suffer, Lord, how can I respond to this season in a way that honors you? Yan ang dapat nating tanong. Hindi kailan mo sasagutin. Lord, paano ba ako magre-responde sa iyo? Sa itong situation that you've sovereignly ordained sa akin life, how can I respond to this that would give you honor and glory? And as we ask that question, Genesis pushes it further. It reminds us that Jacob himself is not the center of the story. Ang center ng story rito, hindi bida si Jacob. It's God. God is at the center of the story. Ultimately, all of Scripture is moving us to see a deeper need, not simply guidance for life's circumstances, but a Redeemer who can deal with our sin and reconcile us to God. In Jesus Christ, we see the true and better one, who not only works in providence, but also accomplishes salvation for us. Unlike Jacob, who labored for blessings, Christ Jesus enters into our brokenness, bears our curse on the cross, and secures that blessing we could never earn through His life, death, and resurrection. So even in our trials and unanswered questions, we do not rest in our ability to manage yung providences na binibigay sa atin ng Panginoon. But in Christ, who has already secured our ultimate good. God is a God who providentially prospers His people. Number two and last. God providentially protects. God providentially protects. 6 years ago, Jacob wanted to leave, to go back home, sa kanyang homeland. But after entering his new agreement with Laban, nanatili siya. But this time, Jacob has been now earning for his family. Hindi lang basta inaalagaan niya yung mga tupa at kambing ni Laban, tulad na nangyayari sa kanya for the past 14 years bilang kabayaran sa kanyang mga brides. Now he's also earning para sa kanyang family. Yeah, for the family. That's really great. And hindi lang yon, talagang pinaulanan ng Panginoon siya ng pagpapala. His wives, children are all happy and are enjoying God's providential blessings. But not everyone was happy. Hindi lahat happy. Chapter 31. Verse 1, in your Bibles, chapter 31, 1 and 2. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all was our father's, and from what was ours, father, he has gained all this wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. As the Lord richly blessed Jacob, even richer than Laban, this didn't sit well sa mga brothers-in-law niya. His herd increased while his father's decreased. Mapapansin nila yan, mas dumadami, maaaring 100,000 kesa sa kanyang mga alagang tupa at pambingang tatay niya na kunsang konti lang at mga mahihina pa. Then Laban started to treat him differently. Nawala yung favor niya kay Jacob. Napansin yon, may panlalamig marahil? Or marahil sinusungitan o hostile? We don't know. Jacob notices that none of his family members support him. Instead, they were antagonistic towards him. Then the Lord spoke to Jacob and commanded him to return to the land of his fathers and promised him that he would be with him. Sabi ng Panginoon, panahon na para bumalik, panahon na para umuwi. I will be with you. It's the same promise na binigay mismo sa chapter 28, which is yung promise na hindi siya iwanan ng Panginoon, that He will provide a safe passage papuntang Canaan. Yun ang promise ng Panginoon. Here we see God's providence once again at work. Kung mapapansin ninyo, wala sa mga external pressures tulad ng accusations sa mga kanyang brothers-in-law, opposition of his father-in-law sa kanya, ultimo sa sarili niyang desire, wala ho yung mga external forces na yon, or even internal sa kanyang sarili, na gusto niyang umuwi sa Canaan. Ang naging basihan ng kanyang desisyon ay hindi yung mga yon. Kasi una pa lang gusto niya umuwi, pero nagbagong isip niya, yumama na siya, then fine. He's enduring lahat ng mga treatment na binibigay sa kanya ng family mismo ng kanyang mga asawa. Fine. Gusto ko umuwi, pero dito muna ako. Fine. Hindi yun ang kanyang deciding factor. It was only when God's call came. Listen, it was only when God's call came, God's word, God's revelation, that Jacob finally resolved to go home. In short, bumalik lang yung thought at yung action, yung courage na umalis, umuwi sa kanyang homeland, ay nung sinabi ng Panginoon, it's time to go home. Jacob does not simply rely on outward circumstances or providential signs to determine the right course of action. Rather, he depends on the Word of God to guide him and give him assurance. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, hindi ba dapat tayo din? Hindi ba dapat tayo ay nagre-rely on, hindi dapat tayo nagre-rely sa outward circumstances or providential signs para malaman kung anong magiging desisyon natin sa buhay? Pag nakita, pag umulan mamaya, hindi ako lalabas. Of course, that's obvious, no? Pero sometimes we look for outward, external signs para tayo sumunod sa Panginoon, para tayo pumunta sa lugar na gusto ng Panginoon. Ang Bible, God's inspired, authoritative, infallible revelation, ang dapat maging pangunahing batayan natin sa lahat ng ating mga desisyon at aksyon. Jacob was probably enjoying wealth by this time with his family. It is possible that God is getting his attention to get him back on track with where he should be. Where should he be? Canaan. Sa season niya, sa Canaan na dapat. He providentially orchestrated a situation in order for him to go back. Aside from giving the command through his spoken word, he also orchestrated a situation sa life niya na he would feel uncomfortable. In a way, God is saying, it's time to go back home. Kaya all of a sudden, his brothers-in-law were against him. His father-in-law turned antagonistic towards him. Parang God is giving him, if I may, the divine push. The divine push. Wala ka na dapat dito. Friends, this is also true sa atin. The Lord sometimes gives us gracious push. A gracious push when we are not where God ultimately wants us to be. Are you in the place right now where God wants you to be? Are you hearing weekly in this church clearly from God's word na dapat wala ka sa sitwasyon na yan? Is God orchestrating something in your life right now, giving you gracious push para mapunta ka sa lugar na kung saan dapat ka? We talked about weeks ago about God's discipline, which is an act of love if we refuse to listen. He makes us uncomfortable to get our attention and put us right back on track kung saan na gusto tayo. At sa tingin ko, yun mismo ang nangyayari dito kay Jacob. Sa kabila ng lahat ng kanyang mga problema, siya ay pinalalago at pinagpapala ng Panginoon sa kanyang kalagayan. But the Lord needs to remind him again of his need to return to the homeland, to his homeland, to the promised land. So 4 to 16, makita natin that Jacob is learning the lesson of God's providence. He not only begins to understand it, but he also took the responsibility of teaching it. Really? Yeah, we can look. Tinawag niya ang kanyang mga asawa. Nung na-confirm niya yung plano sa Panginoon, tinawag niya ang kanyang mga asawa sa open field where he was shepherding para walang makarinig sa kanilang pagkikwentuhan. And there, he tries to convince them sa plano of them as a family leaving papunta sa Canaan. So 5 to 13, he gives his argument to convince them about why it's a good idea na umalis na. Sinabi niya lahat ng mga naobserbahan niya, the way he lost yung kanyang favor sa kanilang father na si Laban, at ang mga pinagsasabi ng mga kapatid nila na sinisira at kung ano-ano mga pinagsasabi against him. Kinwento niya lahat yon. Kinikwento, and it seems like he was venting really hard sa kanila. Ilang taon yan? By this time, 20 years. 20 years. And he quickly said, God is with me. Hindi siya nanatili ron. Sinabi niya, God is with me. Ang sinabi niya, ang sinasabi niya sa kanyang mga asawa na maaaring ang tatay at mga kapatid niyo are against me, but it's very important for you to recognize, wives, that God is still with me. God is still with me. What is Jacob doing here? He is teaching his wives the providence of God. Teaching his wife. Then he said, I have been cheated by your dad several times. I was fair sa kanya for the past 6 years. Then he says, your dad is once again unfair sa akin ngayon. Pabago-bago ngayon yung sweldo. Nawala na yung usapan namin. But God hasn't allowed him to hurt me. Do you see that? He's not just venting. He's not being a drama king. He's giving him real life. He's giving them real life. Real situation. Yet he's pointing the providence of God. The kindness of God. The goodness of God. And this is not positive thinking now. Look at the things in the positive. No, he's referring to God as the source of his prosperity, as the source of his protection. God has prospered me, sabi John, and he's now giving credit to God, who is the source of everything. Jacob is not merely venting out sa kanyang mga asawa, sa mga unfair treatment sa kanya. He is teaching them paulit-ulit, reinforcing in their hearts and in their minds about the reality of God's providence, the reality of God's goodness, the reality of God's sovereignty. At ang response ng kanyang mga asawa, nag-vent out din. Parang nagkaroon tuloy ng venting session sa open field. No? Ah, pwede pala. But then again, he's modeling then opening up, hindi ba? Hindi kaya? So they vented out then. And then nagsabi rin sila ng storya nila. Their father also treated them unjustly. For the first time, ang magkapatid na ito ay nagkakasundo. The bride price that Jacob worked hard for 14 years was supposedly held in a trust. No? Parang sort of dowry kasi siya na binibigay sa tatay and later on ibibigay sa mga anak kapag inabando na sila ng asawa o namatay ang asawa. So ang sinasabi ng magkapatid, pati yon ay winaldas. They're saying that Laban not only sold them but also devoured their proceeds, treating them like foreigners and not family members. His wives agreed with his plan, absolutely, go kami dyan. And confirmed that was their father's, ay ngayon ay napunta na ngayon kay mismo Jacob. Pero itong maganda rito, no? Hindi lang sila nag-vent. They finally believed that God's hand of providence is at work. Jacob not only modeled how it is to trust in God's providence, he also taught it to his wives. And now they believe. Sila mismo nagsasabi, kinuha ng Panginoon yung sa tatay ko, ngayon nasa inyo na, ngayon nasa atin na. Yung kayamanan na ito. Jacob took the responsibility of training his wives in the knowledge of the truth. Christian husband, dapat totoo din sa atin ito. It is our spiritual responsibility to train our wives in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of the truth of God's Word. Sinabi ni Paul to sa Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 27, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Paul is telling us that Christ loved the church sa paraan na ito, that he might sanctify her, washing her with the word, that at the end of the day, the church might be presented to him in glory. Christian husbands, this is how we are to love our wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. Now, I am preaching to myself when I say this, that our responsibility is to love our wives in such a way that we are accountable to Christ. We are given the responsibility to wash her with the word. By nurturing her growth in holiness, so that one day they might be presented to their Savior, their bridegroom. We have a responsibility in helping our wives grow in grace, growing in their knowledge of God's providence, growing in their knowledge and application of the gospel. If we are good in teaching and in not showing, then we have failed. If we have this big theology about God, we constantly remind them, preach to our wives and children, but we live quite the opposite. Ang sasabihin nila sa atin, I don't know what you're saying. We have this responsibility, may accountability tayo sa Panginoon, to grow our wives in the knowledge of God, for their holiness, that they would be living lives that are worshiping the Lord. Jacob's wives agreed, and they decided to proceed with the plan. We see this in verses 17 to 21, where they secretly left and brought everything, their children, slaves, flocks, and possessions. Rachel stole her father's household gods. Bakit niya ginawa yon? We're not sure kung bakit niya ginawa yon. There are a lot of speculations. But ang take ko dito is it could be because it's a form of revenge. Because ito yung Diyos-Diyosa na sinasamba ng kanyang tatay. Ito yung nagpa-practice siya dito sa harap na ito, yung divination and everything like that. So, dahil sa ginawa ni Rachel yon, this will be problematic sa kanya in a few days. So verses 22 to 25, makita natin that Laban found out that he pursued him. Found out na mismo na tumakas sila, and then he pursued them along with his sons and relatives. Hindi lang basta para pabalikin, he pursued them with murderous intent. Murderous intent. If God had not intervened. Sa isang panaginip, God gave a stern warning not to say anything good or bad. Yan ang sabi dyan. And if God is saying don't stop. God is saying, wag mo siyang saktan, wag kang magsalita ng kahit ano. Now, what is it not saying good or bad? So, in short, God is saying, now, if you meet him, don't give him any sweet talk deals anymore. Kagaya ng ginagawa mo noon. And don't even threaten to kill him. Don't. Mamaya, makikita natin yun kasi sinabi niya, I have the power to harm you. Nalyan? God was standing in the way of Laban and Jacob. God was protecting Jacob. Verses 23 to 35, Laban caught up with Jacob. Marahil ay takot na takot si Jacob nung nakita niya si Laban kasama ang kanyang buong kamag-anak. Pero tingnan niyo yung sinabi ho dyan sa 26. Kung paano ang approach ni Laban nung nakita sila. Do you imagine yung scenario? Nakita na sila papalapit, si Jacob nandun, kasama yung mga asawa niya sa likod, mga anak, at papalapit na yung tropa mismo ni Laban. Yung takot na lang ng mama. No? Pero tingnan mo kung ano yung approach na ginawa niya. He acted as though he were a loving, wounded father. Oh! Ano nangyari? What have you done? Kita niyo, hindi lang sa sinungaling to, manipulate, magaling din drumama to eh. A man who had been wrong, na agrabyado niyo ako. Makita yun, 26 to 27, take a look at your Bibles. Una, inakusan niya si Jacob of deception, living secretly with his family without telling him. Pangalo, inakusan niya si Jacob for acting foolishly, insists that he would given them sana na farewell part, sana kung hindi lang kayo umalis. Di sana tinumba ko sana yung mga kambing namin doon na matataba. Okay, tama, sinungaling, wala siyang matabang kambing. Okay, na kay Jacob lahat. Mahihinang kambing lahat yung nasa kanya. But again, he's a piece of work, no? Si Laban. Pangatlo, dito pinakita niya ang tunay niyang kulay. By telling him that he has the power to harm him. Yun talaga kung bakit niyang hinahabol. Papatayin kita. But he was restrained by God. Finally, inakusahan din siya sa pagnanakaw ng Diyos-Diyosan niya. Ninakaw ang Diyos-Diyosan. When I was reading and meditating this week, I was reminded sa mga napanood kong news sa Pilipinas dati na kung saan sa area namin nagkaroon ng isang malaking sunog. At maraming mga tao na nag-evacuate ng kanilang bahay, bit-bit lahat ng kanilang mga mahalagang kagamitan. At isa sa mga napansin ko, yung tumatakbo palayo is bit-bit, karga-karga, yung human size nilang rebulto. Human size. Halos kalad ka din sa bigat. And it came to my mind na he is worshiping a God that needed saving. In this passage, we see is that our God is not a God who can be stolen. Our God is a God who cannot, is the one who will be saving, hindi tayo. He will be saving us. Verses 30 to 40, Jacob denies taking Laban's idols, of course. Even inviting a search unknowingly puts Rachel at risk. Lakas na loob, sige, silipin nyo, wala, kung ano makita nyo, sige, kung sino may hawak niyan, kunin nyo, parusahan natin kung sino man kumuha niyan. Kung alam lang niya si Rachel. Rachel deceived her father by sitting on the idols, pretending na may period siya. Kaya hindi siya makatayo at pinaunlakan naman ang kanyang tatay. Nung walang nakita si Laban, Jacob boldly reminded him, scolded him of his integrity. 20 years of faithfulness, costly service, enduring loss, hardships, and Laban's constant manipulation. Ininta ko lahat yan. Again, we see in 42 Jacob's maturity by giving all the credit to God, declaring that if God, the God of his fathers, had not been with him, Laban would have sent him away empty-handed kung nagpaalam siya. Kung nagpaalam siya, either na hindi siya papayagan o pagkakakitaan siya ulit o paalisin siya mag-isa, walang hawak. Yun ang nangyayari. But God saw his affliction and God intervened. Isn't this ironic? Na Jacob speaks boldly about God's providence, pero hindi niya na-realize kung gaano siya ka-dependent dito. He's really dependent on God's providence. Ni hindi niya alam na kinuha ni Rachel ang idols. Even at his most confident, he doesn't realize how much he depends on God's unseen care. Di kaya nalaman ni Jacob to na nandun yung idols na yon. Siguro na nalaman yun, nahimatay siguro siya. Ang tapang, tignan mo! Friends, again, isn't this true sa ating lahat? We don't always understand what God is doing. But in His wise and fatherly providence, He has His reasons. We are very dependent sa providence ng Panginoon. Even when we catch a glimpse of His care, we still don't know how far He goes to protect us. You have no idea kung anong ginagawa sa atin ng Panginoon. Protecting us, providing for us. Sometimes those unanswered prayers are God's providences of protecting us, growing us, blessing us. We don't know that. That's why we are called to trust Him kahit hindi natin naiintindihan. Let us keep praying, brothers and sisters, that God would teach us to trust His providence more, knowing we can never exceed His faithful care. 43 to 55, Laban makes a final claim after everything na pinaliwanag mismo ni Jacob. At ang final claim ni Laban, pride. Ang mga anak na to, akin. Ang mga apo na to, akin. Ang mga flocks na ito, akin lahat to. Pero, what to do? Basically, that's ang magawa. What to do? So instead, he proposed a covenant. They set up a boundary marker, call on God as a witness, and agreed not to harm one another. So instead, this covenant, yun ang ginawa niya. The passage ends with a peaceful separation as Laban returns home and Jacob continues on his way as God continues to be true to his purposes and promises in protecting him hanggat makarating siya sa Canaan. Jacob's life, brothers and sisters, is more than just an interesting story. It is a preview of God's greater redemptive story. Jacob was exiled to Mesopotamia. Pero later, Jacob's name will become Israel, and Israel will become a great nation who will be enslaved mismo sa Egypt. Jacob was exiled to Mesopotamia. Later, Israel will be exiled to Egypt. Jacob's family multiplied in exile. Israel would grow in a great nation by the time of the Exodus. Jacob was mistreated, abused, and became an indentured servant dahil kay Laban. Israel mismo were slaves by Pharaoh. Jacob prospered so that Laban felt plundered. Israel plundered the Egyptians when they were exiting Egypt. God protected and delivered Jacob from Laban and brought him towards the promised land. God would later deliver Israel from Pharaoh and lead them to Canaan. All of this ay bahagi ng isang malaking storya ng redemption ng Panginoon. All of this point us forward to the true Israel, to our Savior, Christ, the better Israel. So Matthew 2:15, Jesus was called out of Egypt, sabi ron, and he is the one who accomplishes the ultimate spiritual exodus. Through Christ's death and resurrection, he delivers his people from the bondage of sin, gathers a people for himself, provides for them, and leads them not merely to an earthly land, but into the fullness of God's promises. One day we will dwell in that ultimate promised land, in the very presence of our God. Friends, this promised salvation is not ours, it's not received by works, but by grace alone. If you are here today, zero relationship, zero interested, trying to win a relationship with God through your works or no works at all, I urge you to repent. Repent from this sin and place your faith in Christ and what He has done on the cross for our salvation. Repent, friends, and believe. Brothers and sisters, let us trust in God's providence, especially itong season na to of uncertainty. Uncertainty regionally, uncertainty personally. Let's trust in God's providence, that He sovereignly fulfills His purposes despite all human opposition. We are called to be faithful. We're called to praise. We're called to cling to Christ. We're called to trust His word above our circumstances. And let us rest in Christ, who has accomplished the greater exodus and will surely bring His people safely all on that day. God providentially fulfills His promises. despite human opposition. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, for your providence over sa aming buhay. Teach us to trust you more. Teach us to trust you more than our current circumstances. Teach us to obey you with faithful hearts. Empower us with your Spirit. Help us to rest in Christ alone, who has accomplished the greater exodus through his death and resurrection. Strengthen Crossroads Church Dubai and lead us safely all the way home. May we all help one another to heaven for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.